This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Getting you what you need to know. Power Talk. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
So let's get into Behind the Party Line. Let's go there and speak to the Forum for Service Delivery. We're joined by the president of the movement, Dr. Mbahare Kekane. Is that right? Mbahare Kekane?
Yes, you're correct, ma'am. Dr. Mbahare Kekane, yes.
Nice to meet you, Ndate. So first and foremost, I see it being described as a movement. Yes, you have representation in local councils, but it's a movement called the Forum for Service Delivery. What are you exactly?
We are a service delivery orientated movement, which we don't care a lot about politics. Our people are tired of politics. Our people are looking for service delivery. So our model is 80% service delivery and 20% politics. We are focusing a lot on those who are sidelined by the system. We are focusing a lot on the issue of sanitation, the issue of education, the issue of health, the issue of the public service, the issue of good governance, and also the issue of accountability.
Yeah. Okay. So many, many positive things. So you want to get things done, is what you're saying to me, especially in the provision of basic services and utilities like water, sanitation, and housing. And you want things to be done in a way that is transparent and can be tracked, and every tax dime can be accounted for.
Correct, ma'am. We are actually getting things done. As we speak, we are governing the Dizawata municipality, which is the troublesome municipality which was dissolved. And we have managed to put systems in place. As we speak, when we took over the municipality, it was a mess by the current regime. And we have made sure that our people in that municipality are getting services. When we arrived there, the employees there, they've got more than 4 months not getting a salary.
Wow.
But we can tell you that people are getting salaries, people are getting service. So we now want to broaden what we are doing in this water to provincial level and also national level. So we have got track record, we are governing well, and we've been in the system as early as 2015. We are not Auma Fikisolos. We know how to govern, and we have been governing.
Okay, and what have you learned from that municipality? Just the basic building blocks, because municipalities in the country, you know, it's easy for us to criticize them. But what we find is that there's the challenges of fundraising, because many depend on grants from the state, but then must try to charge services to rates to ratepayers. Then it's getting the various municipal service providers to do the basic work, you know, collect the refuse, treat the water plants, clean up the dirt and waste management. So finding just the right pairing of talents is a difficult thing at municipal level.
I can put it to you, ma'am, to say, as Forum for Service Delivery, we have learned that the issue of accountability is a problem. The current system doesn't give politicians to account to the community. So we are pushing for an introduction of what we call service delivery pledge, whereby the politicians, together with administration, they need to sign that pledge so that if even they fail to deliver service, they can immediately resign. I can tell you, we have got Auditor General, AG, which will find municipality being in French of wasteful expenditure, irregular expenditure, and all that. But immediately after the issuing of the audit opinion, nothing happens. So we want people to get arrested, those who are involved in corruption. We are also pushing that the Auditor General must be combined with Public Protector's Office so that it can have more teeth, it can maximize its resources and all that. We have noticed that there's a high level of dropouts. So we want to reskill those young people to be police officers. We want to bring back the issue of TVET colleges. We want to ensure that NSFAS is scrapped so that our people, our students are getting direct funding. We want to ensure that every region, there's a university, there's a technical college, there's agricultural colleges, this nation called, so that people, they don't leave, they don't have to leave the province for them to access education.
But all those big picture things that you're talking about, how NSFAS is administered, where technical colleges are found, how to get them into the system of further education and training, it's not entirely things that can happen at municipal level. It would need a lot of coordination with the national government, Department of Higher Education, Ministry of Public Works, and the like. So, you know, tell us about your relationship working within the three tiers of government.
All right. This is what we are giving, what we are pushing as Forum for Service Delivery. We are pushing for a unitary state as compared to the current state, whereby local government is given more powers.
Okay.
Because of that is where the cold face of service delivery is. We want to see local government be able to administer education, be able to administer health, be able to administer roads. Because of as we speak, we can tell you we need just a two-tier of government. The provincial sphere is unnecessary. During apartheid, we did not have a provincial sphere. Countries like Kenya, they don't have provincial sphere. So we want to eliminate provincial sphere and also to elevate elevate local sphere so that it's got more powers. So we want to have an overall system in terms of Chapter 3 of the Constitution.
Okay. And now, you know, when you first entered the realm of electoral politics, 2016 was the municipal elections then. You contested and you did win in 5 provinces, 31 council seats. And then in the next municipal elections in 2021, you won 39 council seats. So from 31 to 39, we're seeing growth for what is a fairly young movement. And now you are taking that formula and you're contesting at national level because of what you've seen at local level. And this is why you're talking the way you do. There are needs at local level, but we would need policies at national level to streamline coordination and get rid of provincial government. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so what would be your priorities if you made it into the National Assembly in Cape Town?
One of the key issues is employment. We need to industrialize. We need to have what economies. We need to make sure that the economy, which is currently now in the hands of illegal foreigners, economy, which is a local economy, which is now in the hands of immigrants, must be transferred back to our local people.
Okay, can I challenge you? Can I just challenge you briefly on that? Can you give us a number? When you say the economy at the local level is in the hands of foreigners, give us a number. What percentage?
I can tell you, out of 10 wards or out of 10 municipalities, nine out of 10, the local economy, it's in the hands of illegal immigrants.
The ones you're managing, that's what you've seen.
Come again, ma'am?
I'm saying the municipalities and the wards you're managing, your councillors, that's what you've seen, 9 out of 10.
Correct. Where we are governing, we are busy crafting bylaws so that there is a sharing of local economy between our people and illegal foreigners. To say, if you have a tax shop, you need to share and transfer knowledge with our local people. If we've got a saloon, you need to share with our people. The issue of, another issue quickly, the issue of age restriction, this issue of 18, 19, we want that policy to be scrapped so that people are hired not in terms of age, but they are hired in terms of capacity.
Right. Okay.
The issue of ECD, you know, crutches, it's a neglected sphere. We want to see crutches getting more funding. We want to see the system of crutches getting upgrading. We want to ensure that the pass rate is elevated to 50%.
Okay.
We cannot afford to have 30%. Even during the bandstand, pass rate was 50%. Even during apartheid, pass rate was 50%.
Yeah.
So we want to restore and restructure education. We want to make sure that the issue of load shedding is getting addressed. We want to massify ESCOM. We want to ensure that there's also an alternative to ESCOM so that ESCOM must get competition.
Right.
People, we are now put moving in a phase whereby, as we speak, a crime is very rife.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, we learned painfully that one of the experienced DJ and comedian was shot. Not only him, we have lost so many prominent people because of crime. We have normalized crime in this country. We have normalized corruption in this country. We want to see harsh sentences to those people who are committing this hideous crimes. People who are doing corruption, they must get arrested.
Yeah.
We cannot afford to have people committing corruption.
Okay.
And what happened to Zondo report? No one is getting arrested.
Right.
We'll make sure that the Zondo report is implemented and people are getting arrested.
Okay.
Young people are unemployed. We want to reskill them. We want to ensure that the issue of TVET colleges it's getting reversed to technical colleges so that we can the issue of roads is getting resolved.
Okay. There's many things in that that you're saying, so I want us to break it down. So you use the term, you know, in certainly where you are operating as Forum for Service Delivery, you have seen 9 out of 10 wards that have illegal immigrants running businesses. You've then said we want to share the economy with them. So to me, this is incongruent. Illegal immigrants are illegal. And if you've seen many of them in 9 out of 10 wards, surely you should be prioritizing the tightening of immigration laws. Never mind sharing the economy with them, but tightening of immigration laws.
Ma'am, maybe I was not proper there.
Yeah.
The issue, the illegal immigrants, obviously, they must be deported. We are saying those who came here in the country legally.
Right.
And running businesses, they must share the economy.
Okay.
Secondly, another point is, the issue of farming, at farming level, the issue of restaurants. I can tell you, you go to Santen, you will have 100 employees being foreigners in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that any business owner or a person owning a farm, hiring 100% foreigners, that issue must be criminalized, because our people need space.
Okay.
Our people must be given a space to come and perform and learn and proceed and take the country forward.
All right. So I understand your immigration policy now. And then when you talk about stimulating the economy, so as you're saying, those who are here legally, if they've got expertise, can they share the knowledge so that we can incorporate more locals into the economy? You also then said an education needs to also play a part. So draw for me the links that you have between or your connection and understanding of the connection between education, entrepreneurship, and the economy.
We need to give a curriculum which talks about creating more employers than employees. As we speak, the curriculum doesn't talk to that. So we need to revolutionize our curriculum system, so that as and when the young people getting out of the system, they are actually employers than the employees, so that they can then stimulate the economy. The issue of young people sitting at home doing nothing, we need to ensure that we make education compulsory. One of the points that I
brought,
we need to ensure that we've got one education system. We cannot afford to have two education systems in the country. We need to combine it and have one. The issue of industries, we need to make sure that industries such as at Babeneri and others in Tabanchu, in Free State and Limpopo, we need to awaken them. We need to ensure that our people textile environment is getting an overhaul. We want to make sure that we reduce a lot into importing importing, so that we can get things done internally.
Okay.
We can be able to assemble issues internally rather than taking people from other countries. We need to ensure that we learn from the best countries. And again, we need to make sure that at some stage we take a pain of being patient, so that we can rebuild this country, because of 30 years in democracy, things are getting miserable.
All right. So if you can make schooling compulsory, is what you're saying. So kids must be in school regardless. There's got to be a reason why somebody's not in school. The pass rate must be 50%, so that we're improving the outcomes at school. And whilst you're doing that, you want to see more investments to resuscitate factories, import substitution, so that those young people can leave school, if not going to university or a college, that they can come into this manufacturing economy. Have I understood that as your nexus?
Yes, correct, ma'am. Those are the critical points when we arrive in Cape Town, we'll make sure that we focus on.
I like that. Okay, so you are in, you have counselors, as I said, in the Northwest, and you keep referring to many things that you're witnessing in the Northwest. Mpumalanga, you're there too. Northern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, and Limpopo. These are vastly different provinces with different needs at the municipal level, because some are big municipalities, like you'd find in Gauteng. Others have a district development model because they are semi-rural, like you'll find in parts of Limpopo and the Northwest. And then others are just, you know, far-flung places like the Northern Cape, you know, more land than people. So these very different places, what have they taught you about governance in South Africa?
What we've been learned about the issue of governance is that government doesn't plan with people.
Government does not do what?
Doesn't plan together with people. Okay. They just plan alone somewhere. Without the input of the people. I can tell there's a mismatch in what the current government is giving to our people. What the current government is giving to our people is not what our people are looking for. So we want to make sure that we are community-centered, we involve the community in terms of our planning, we involve our kings and our kings in terms of the planning. We ensure that we bring other things which were done during apartheid, and they were working, because most of the things they were just phased out without being continued. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that the constitution talks to our people. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that the Structures Act, the any legislation are talking to our people. As far as we concerned, there's a disjuncture between the current legislation of this country and our people on the ground. So we want to make sure that our people are actually governed properly. We want to make sure that the services are actually taken mm-hmm. to people, and we want to make sure that people have houses, they have work, they have water, they have everything where they are staying. Mm-hmm. We reduce the issue of influx. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that young people are subsidized, young people looking for jobs, mm-hmm. they are subsidized in terms of a public transport system. As you know that mm-hmm. you will then get an interview from another region, and you are also unemployed. We mm-hmm. want to make sure that we work with the taxi industry, the bus industry, so that okay. we subsidize those young people under 25, so that they are able to move around and make sure that the economy runs and all that.
All right. So I don't know whether you rely on election polls, whether you believe them. But in any case, many of them are suggesting that there's not going to be an outright winner after 29th of May. Nobody's going to get 50%. Maybe there's a 48% for the ANC, maybe even less. Then the DA will come in at a figure. EFF will come in at a figure. Action SA are the ones they're really focusing on. And then the remainder of the pie will be shared amongst many smaller parties. So my first thing is, do you look at polls? And how does that help you with strategy? That's the first thing. And if you do look at these polls and you believe the polls, it means we're going to have a coalition government most likely. Would you participate in a coalition government? Who would you back? And what would you do to make sure it's stable so that we're not seeing chaos like we see at municipal level?
Firstly, as Forum for Civil Liberty, we'll push for a legislation on coalition government. Hmm. Because of we are in chaos and all that, because of coalition is not managed properly in terms of the laws, in terms of the framework and all that. What are we going to be doing? We, immediately after the elections, at the moment, we can't be specific who are we going to work with. Immediately after the elections, we got the results. We'll go back to our people so that we can engage them. They can guide us. Because of currently now, we don't have a social contract between our people. So we'll make sure that we go to our people, we sign a social contract with them in terms of engaging with them or on which political party to work with. But we are clearly service delivery movement. We are 80% on the issue of service. Any party which talks strictly about service delivery, any party which is highly informed in terms of holding executive to account, will definitely work with. But we will go to the ground, engage our people, and our people will tell us and advise us which party to work with.
Okay. Well, we wish you well at the polls and Godspeed. Maybe we'll be seeing the Forum for Service Delivery in the National Assembly. They've contested two elections thus far, but only municipal elections. In 2016, where they were able to garner as many as 31 council seats across different municipalities and different provinces. By the next municipal elections, they'd gotten 39 seats, so you can see an incremental growth. And so they are confident enough to go national, and they believe they will get there as well as growing their figures locally. Thank you for your time, Dr. Mbahare Kekana, President of the Forum for Service Delivery. It's news time.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.